Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. Welcome to the Hoban Minute. Today, Bob and myself are talking about cannabis advocacy in professional sports, and we are joined by the Director of Development of Athletes for Care, Mr. Clint Johnson. Clint, thank you for being here with us this afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
So we know that you are down in sunny Orlando, Florida, and we're sitting here on a pretty cold but definitely a warmer day than yesterday in Denver, Colorado. I want to start the conversation here. How did you first get involved with Athletes for Care? Kind of tell us a little bit about your personal story, your background playing professional sports, and then what attracted you to this wonderful nonprofit organization.
Awesome. Well, growing up in Orlando, I was recruited out of Orlando by Lou Holtz to play football at Notre Dame. So I went to Notre Dame and played football there, and I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to play a little bit of professional football, but couldn't stay healthy. So, you know, one of the keys to being able to be a professional athlete is what we're talking about now with Athletes for Care, right, is staying healthy. And being in the right place at the right time is a lot of it also. And so I was picked up by the Atlanta Falcons, went through training camp, got released right at the 53-man cut, was supposed to go play back then in NFL Europe. I ended up not getting drafted for that because I was dealing with some agents that were kind of bickering amongst themselves and ended up hurting me. So I ended up signing with the Edmonton Eskimos up in the CFL, and I went up there and was having a great training camp, loved the team, everything about it was awesome, and I ended up tearing my groin in training camp there. And so I left there and actually went to law school and went through that process and practiced law for a little bit. And then I got into consulting, and then I got into being a football coach. And I was fortunate enough to coach a program here in Orlando and turn that program around to a certain extent. And got about 15 kids in college over the span of the time I was the head coach. And I had an opportunity to interview for a position with actually Coach Holtz's foundation, which is called Holtz's Heroes. And I ended up finishing second to a guy I played with at Notre Dame. Been with Notre Dame for a long time by the name of Reggie Brooks. And amongst that, or I guess during that process, that's when Athletes for Care kind of came on my radar. And I started reading a little bit about them and all the things they were doing. I'm like, man, this is like a match made in heaven. So then I got connected with Anna Valent, who's the executive director with Athletes for Care, and I kind of saw the mission that they were on and the number of athletes that they were working with or that they had in the organization, and I felt like, you know, this was a match made in heaven.
Well, you know, and A4C, we're lucky to have you, and I'm a founding board member of the organization and proud to be that, but, you know, Clint, why don't we talk a little bit for our listeners about what Athletes for Care is, what A4C's mission is, because it's had a pretty significant impact in telling stories and getting people together and getting them involved in this industry. But remember, it's a new industry. It's not what I'd call mainstream in America or many other places, although it's getting there. So we're talking about a continuous mission to educate people, not just the public as to what cannabis can do, among other ways to help your body get through pain. And when you put it in the context of how it can help athletes, you're educating the public, but you're also bringing athletes to the picture to look at things that they may not have otherwise looked at as a viable option because they're so used to getting prescription medications and so forth and so on and doing the treatments that have historically been used. And that's not always in the best interest of the individual athlete, as you well know. So talk a little bit about A4C and its mission and where we can get some more information.
Yeah. Well, first of all, to get information, you can always go to athletesforcare.org. And there's a ton of information there. But as far as the mission is concerned, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's, it's focused on obviously trying to be a support system, but also helping to grow and open the discussion for what alternative medications can do, as opposed to, and as you said, I've got a lot of friends who played in the NFL and they're, you know, in their 40s now and they're struggling. I've got a friend that's on dialysis four times a week and he needs a kidney transplant because he chose to play defensive line in the NFL and it cost him and his body. And so, you know, he's fighting that fight and he's still a relatively young man. And so, so the opportunities that A4C provides is a network of individuals who are professional athletes or who've had some level of athletics in their life from a college standpoint, and we try to be a resource, and we try to be, I guess, for lack of better words, a mentor for a lot of these athletes that are coming out, and for a lot of the ones that have already been out, and try to provide them with an opportunity to see that there are other viable options out there for them, and that they don't have to destroy their bodies. And that a lot of the opioids and the pain medications and the things that they've been taking over those years to get to the next contract or to get through that next game, does have a long-term impact on your body. And so A4C obviously is a huge player and wants to be a huge player in the cannabis world. And I think we all know now, you know, there's a lot of movement from professional athletes who have looked to get engaged in the CBD industry or hemp industry. And so, as you said, it's kind of becoming more mainstream now. Even the NFL, I think, is kind of backed down a little bit off of their cannabis and marijuana policies that they've had. And I think a lot of professional sports are kind of looking at what the NFL has done and taking all those things into consideration as well. So I think, if nothing else, what A4C is helping to do is continue to open the door for conversation and to show that this is a viable alternative, and it's not something that you have to worry about guys being addicted and not being able to perform. On the contrary, it's actually helping them perform.
Well, and you know, it's not just, you know, think about it. I remember the story that Steve Kerr talked about, Warriors coach, former NBA player. He talked about his back pain and how it's really just been debilitating for him. And I don't know the extent of it, but he talked about in an interview at one point using medical marijuana. And, you know, he took a couple tokes here and there and it didn't work. That's just the tip of the iceberg, right? That's also not the wider variety of ways you can integrate cannabis for pain relief purposes. That's just one of them and probably the least common among, you know, athletes in particular that use it. But think about the use of the cannabis plant for recovery, for wellness, for, you know, protein replacement. When you think about plant-based proteins, I mean, there's a whole part of this plant that's integrated into sort of, you know, what A4C likes to preach, and rightfully so, that a lot of people miss out on because you only think about that Steve Kerr instance. I got to get a joint and I got to kick a couple of hits off of it or smoke it out of a pipe or something like that, when it's so much more than
right.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's, again, you're exactly right. I think the science behind everything and having doctors and other professionals come forward along with people like Steve Kerr and other athletes who can obviously testify to what it's done and the benefits it's had for them. I think, like you said, it's only going to open the door up more and more and more.
No, it certainly seems like we've reached a point where we're beyond just anecdotal evidence. And that's not just true for this conversation where we're really focusing on professional sports and athletes. That's just a larger conversation in our country. And I know even there's been a pretty significant piece of litigation with some former athletes who are a part of that, in basically trying to sway that opinion at the federal level. But I would like to just talk for a moment, Clint, in your relationships with folks, and you mentioned somebody who was a former defensive lineman. I mean, how valuable, how important, how touching is it to hear these stories about guys who are really suffering and we're maybe relying on these more, let's say, traditional or mainstream treatment therapies like opioids, to hear these stories about coming off of that, to hear these stories about using cannabis. I mean, it ultimately, the best way to change people's minds is to change their hearts with that kind of storytelling, with that that empathy and sympathy for this plant. Can you just speak a little bit to some of the stories that have really resonated with you from athletes that you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, you got a lot of guys who, you know, I think part of being an athlete, right, for whether you're female or male, there's just a certain level of you're taught to endure the pain, right, that comes with, you know, no pain, no gain. You know, that's just kind of part of how you're raised in sports. And for so long, you know, you kind of go through different things when you're playing a sport and you want to be on the field because, you know, and especially when you get to the pro level, right, because you don't perform, if you're not, you know, out there, then it's hard to be evaluated by GMs and it's hard to get that next big contract or try and get to that next big payday. And so guys are willing to do, you know, what they feel they need to do in order to get on the field sometimes. And it's a quick fix. It's a Band-Aid. You know, at that time, you're not really thinking about what's this going to do to me, you know, 20 years from now or 10 years from now. And I think, you know, if guys feel that they have an option and they're not going to be punished for taking other options, and I think, you know, a lot of guys would probably seek other options and make other choices because that those other choices may be more natural and are not going to cause them long-term grief.
No, it's true. And, you know, this is something to think about, too. When you think about, you know, long-term grief, long-term pain, and just making choices there. And then, you know, take it to the other end of the spectrum. You've got youth, whether they're, you know, young athletes or people just playing for fun. And how everything's changed from that age, you know, don't play football because you're going to get a traumatic brain injury or the like. I mean, we yeah. know so much more about all these different things. So, you know, these are the types of things that you have to ultimately educate the youth and the, you know, the future athletes about. But here's an interesting story. I've coached sort of high level middle school basketball for a long time. And one of the parents, he's a former FBI agent. He's in private security now. And he comes up to me after one of the early practices and he says, "Mr. Hovind," he says, you know, "my son looks forward to playing with you." He says, "you know, I know what you do for a living and I know what, you know, that you work in the marijuana industry." And I looked at him and I said, do you really think that I'm going to talk to your son about smoking marijuana in the middle of a basketball practice? I'm just trying to get him to, I'm trying to get him to set screens for one another and get open to take over jump shots. That's hard You're enough, right. But you know, but right. it's that stigma, right? How do you yeah. breach that conversation? Cause as coaches, you know, the opportunity to talk about things like this, to young men and young women is few and far between and properly so. But as they get older, they need to understand that these things are options.
Yeah. Yeah. I think again, you know, like you said, there's such a stigma around it, and you know, like you said, rightfully so to a certain extent, because you know, as you get older, you're more responsible and you tend to hopefully make better decisions. But I think that, like you said, you know, people have placed this do not touch sign, you know, on it for the longest time, and I think it's only now that things are starting to kind of change, where people are starting to see, oh man, well, you know, this helped this child who was suffering from epilepsy, you know, or this helped this child who was having other traumatic, you know, medical issues. And the only thing that could help them was doing this. And so, you know, I think, you know, the more stories, as you guys, like you said, you put this information out there, more stories are out there for people to digest and actually see, you know, that, okay, hey, maybe I should take a second look at this thing and maybe have a better understanding and come to it maybe with an open mind.
Well, and athletes also are they're such big figureheads for our culture and for our society. And it raises a really interesting point, because when you have former athletes, like you said, who are starting CBD companies and they're being a face for the industry, almost in a sense, that provides a certain amount of comfort to mainstream society. When they see their role models adopting something, they're more likely to think, oh, well, if this person sees value in this, then there must be some more value there rather than just kind of falling into what the stigma around it is. And you did mention also that major sports organizations are becoming more lenient. What do you think are kind of the barriers that are still there for really seeing the NFL, the NBA, the MLB really embrace cannabis, or not even embrace it, but just really allow it and kind of treat it as if it is just another alternative treatment or therapy for former athletes or current athletes? And what can we do? We know that, you know, the work of Athletes for Care is to help kind of chart that path. But just talk a little bit about those barriers, because it does seem like it does help to have these people like Al Harrington who are now in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to take that, and probably like a lot of other things, right? Like how it had to get to that point where it was, okay, maybe it was accepted medically first, and then now it's accepted recreational. And so I think there's a lot of lobbying, you know, and a lot of providing opportunities. People who are respected, I think, within the industry, athletes that are respected. I think it's going to take that type of positive feedback and education for those who, you know, have placed that stigma and continue to have that stigma about it, to maybe start to loosen up a little bit and understand that, hey, you know, it's not a bad thing if used the correct way. I mean, anything can be addictive, right, if it's abused. And so if you use it the right way and the way it's targeted to be used, then, you know, it can provide an alternative to maybe something else that may not be working for you to help you heal and help your body heal.
No, that's really well said. And that is the challenge that's ahead of us. And, you know, maybe in the process too, that person, aside from changing their mind, they'll change their lifestyle. And those are the some of the upsides of this thing. But tell us a little bit about, I know that A4C has a series of forthcoming golf tournaments coming up. And one of them's here in Colorado, as I understand it, and just some plans to begin engaging in the community again, as we're allowed to. And by the way, what a great way to do that in a, you know, socially distanced way outside, et cetera, at a golf course. And we hope by the time these things come around that things start to loosen up a little bit too, where, you know, I was watching these NFL games this past weekend and, you know, it was nice to see, you know, 10,000 people or more in the stadiums all spaced out, but it, you know, it makes you wonder what it's going to take to start getting people back together again.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're excited. We've got, 7 golf events lined up this year under A4C. The first one is actually going to be on March the 15th at the Dallas Cowboys Golf Club, which is going to be very, very, very special because the Dallas Cowboys, love, it's either you love them or you hate them, right? But you can't deny what Jerry Jones has done for the NFL and for his brand. And so to have an opportunity to put on a charity golf event there is going to be outstanding. We're excited about it. So if you have any listeners that are Cowboys fans or in the Cowboys zip code or area and they want to come out and participate, definitely you can feel free to reach out and contact me. My email is clint@athletesforcare.com. Again, that's clint@athletesforcare.com. And then we'll be in Orlando the following month on April the 15th. And we're expecting to have a great turnout there. We actually got Mercedes-Benz involved here in Orlando. They're going to come out and do our hole for one giveaway for us. If somebody's lucky enough to get a hole in one, they can walk away with a Mercedes on that day. And then we'll be coming out to the beautiful Denver mountains. And we're going to be at Arrowhead there in Denver. And that's on May the 6th. And so we're expecting that to be a huge blowout tournament. Was actually on the phone with some lady golf professionals who we plan to use for our Beat the Pro par threes out there in Denver. And so that should be quite challenging and interesting to be able to come out and see some lady professionals tee it up and challenge some guys and some athletes to see how good they think they can actually hit it. Once we leave Denver, then we'll be heading out to Philadelphia, and that'll be in the month of June. And then from June, hopefully again, as you said, if COVID has hopefully kind of given us some space to operate and move around, we're hoping to head up to Toronto and play there in Toronto. And then we're going to bring everything to a close back in Chicago again, which is where we started just back in 2020. We had a really successful event there in Chicago at Bolingbrook Golf Club. And we'll be back at Bolingbrook again in August for the final event of the year. So we're really excited about what we got going on with these golf events. Very unique opportunity to come out and kind of network with other cannabis professionals, CBD professionals, professional athletes. It's a, what we like to kind of term as a really unique event, and we're trying to find more creative ways, like you said, in this COVID era to do things and keep people safe, obviously, at the same time, but have a good time and come out and be able to meet with some other people and play a game that hopefully people grow to love like I love, and that's the game of golf.
No, that's the name of the game. Before we let you go, let's just get a prediction out of you for Super Bowl Sunday. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Chiefs or Buccaneers?
Oh, man. you know, it's hard to go against the GOAT Tom Brady, but the Chiefs are just, man, they're a machine. And then obviously they've got, I think, what I'm going to call the new GOAT, which is, you know, their quarterback is very special. And so I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think Tom Brady keeps it close. So you can never count him out. I'm going to go Chiefs 30, Bucks 20.
All right. You heard it here on the Hoban Minute. Clint, thank you so much for joining us. Any listeners who want to learn more about the incredible work that you guys do, go to athletesforcare.org. And we can't wait to check in with you again and hopefully catch you when you're out here in Colorado at that golf tournament. But you have a great evening, my friend.
Definitely. And if I could just say real quick, thank you very much, Mr. Hoban, for giving us this opportunity to be on your podcast, and I really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to coming out there and doing some great things with you guys.
No, the pleasure is all ours, and thanks for doing what you do. We look forward to connecting again sometime real soon.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. You guys have a great night. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law, and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.